Good morning, brothers and sisters, friends and family. Good to see you this morning. Welcome again to the North River Church of Christ, 11 a.m. service. I got a chance to share this message at 9 a.m. Of course, we've got some of our college students out. Welcome to those of you online as well. If you would, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. And we are excited. Man, I tell you, that Revelation song just inspires me every time that I sing it. We're going to share some thoughts out of Revelation this morning as well. And really, we are continuing with our theme this morning. Dear brother Jeff did a great job helping us to understand what it means to have a servant's attitude. So this is a servant's attitude part two. Okay, always coming behind Jeff is great. He's a hero of mine in the faith. Just a great brother, probably one of the coolest ministers that I know. I don't know if you ever see Jeff's walk, but that's a cool cat. You know, he just kind of, he says it's his knees, but he's kind of like, you know, he does that thing. He's got that cool Modi look and everything's cool. And, you know, so I admire him. I'm not as cool as him. I'm just a plodding big offensive line coach. You know, Jeff is my man. I really appreciate him and all that he does. And certainly all the ministers, Tom and Jordan, just great brothers that here at Love God. But really, the theme for our year is Faithful Together. So we went through a series of lessons here, just talking about God, his nature, who he is, and who he calls us to be, which is to be the apprentices of Jesus, right? So that's who we're called to be. So Faithful Together, you know, we went through he is faithful, you know, the family of God. We talked about spirit-filled relationships. I had the honor to share that with my dear brother Jordan. We preached on that together. Pentecost celebration, that was really cool, just kind of going back to the first century and just how they worshiped in the Pentecost on that day. The body of Christ, we talked about that. And of course, we're in practicing the way. You know, what it means to be apprentice of Jesus. We're talking about hospitality. We're talking about servanthood and all of those types of things. You know, but today is really great. I did a study on servanthood. When I was asked to preach on this lesson, I didn't want to go first because I wanted to take time and marinate on what it means to be a servant. And so what's really interesting about this is, you know, in serving together, the attitude of a servant part two, there's a lot of context here. And what's interesting as we look at the word servant in the Bible, most of the English translations have inserted that word in order to avoid a key word, and that word is slave. And so we're going to talk about that. And it's interesting as I did my study, I'm kind of marinating, getting advice, talking to different people, doing Bible study, you know, bouncing things off my wife. It's always good to bounce stuff off your queen, who is awesome, very spiritual. But she came home from a women's Bible study one Tuesday, and she's like, Kendall, I want to tell you this story. I want to tell you about this. This guy named MacArthur wrote this book, and it's called Slave. Finding your hidden identity in Christ, your true hidden identity in Christ. That's my paraphrase. But it's an incredible book. And then there's another brother who wrote this book about slavery as well. And I'm going to go through that. I'm like, wow, slave. I mean, that's really toxic. I'm like, wow. Slave. She's raving about this. Honey, I'm telling you, the word is slave. And I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, awesome, great, amen. So what's interesting about it, as you do more Bible study, you're like, whoa. Let me look at this here, because the only two translations that we have that I've caught it, I mean, there might be others, most of the NIV, most of the New American Standard versions, and all these versions put the word servant or bond servant in there. They do not put the word slave in there. Only the New Living Translation and the Holman Translation have that word, that key word, slave. And it's going to talk about why we serve Christ in the church, because Jesus is our master. Okay, there's another word that's interesting. In studying this concept about the master, right? And really looking at that and what that is. And really what it is looking at the lordship. So I kind of looked into Hebrew a little bit. So in the Hebrew, the word is Adonai. It's in the Bible 7,000 times as it refers to lordship in the Hebrew. So in the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Hebrew scriptures, this word, Kyrios, is in there. Jesus is our master. In the New Testament, Jesus is our Lord. It's 740 times. And then there's another word in the Bible called despot. I can't pronounce it. Good grief. I've been trying. I listen to stuff. But there's only mentioned five times. And it talks about, again, master and Lord, but it represents supreme one. He's supreme. It's a tyrannical, tyrant sort of thing. We know Jesus is not a tyrant. But in Luke chapter 2, verse 29, Simeon refers to that context of lordship and master. Extreme lordship. Jesus being the supreme one. And then you look at this word. Here it is. Why do we need to serve Jesus? Because we are his slaves. The word is doulos. Doulos. So every time you see a greeting from one of the apostles in the first century, they are referring to this word doulos, slave. And so it changed my paradigm. I mean, look, I had to wrestle with this now, okay? Because the history of slavery in America, as we know, is tragic and around the world. It's tragic. And there are three different forms, if you would, of slavery. There's the Old Testament slavery that you look at from the standpoint of back in the Old Testament, you know, they would be sold into slavery. Essentially, they would be slaves to pay off debt. And then they could be released. In year seven, they'd be released. And if they left, you know, the Bible says that you could not go after your slaves. You know what I mean? It was just to pay off debt. That was something that they did. And that's sort of the Reader's Digest version. Just go ahead and do more research on that. It's pretty interesting stuff. But then, of course, there is first century slavery, right? The Bible, okay? And there were slaves in the Bible, you know, in the first century, rather. There were slaves there, and the Bible addresses that. You see some passages in Colossians talking about, you know, obey your masters and things like that. But really, for us as Christians to be slaves means that we have given up our rights. We were bought as a price because of Christ. That's what it talks about. Now, that's hard to wrestle with. So let's look at this. Doulos, slave, metaph, one who gives himself up to another's will. Those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing in his cause among men. Devoted to one another, to another, to the disregard of one's own interests. So let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle and singled out for God's good news, which he promised long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's that word again. Kyrios, master, lordship, right? Who was a descendant of David according to the flesh and who's been declared to be the powerful son of God by the resurrection from the dead according to the spirit of holiness. We've received, look at this, we've received grace and apostleship through him to bring about the obedience of faith among all the nations on behalf of his name, including yourselves who also belong to Jesus Christ by calling to all who are in Marietta Square, you know, Kennesaw Northwest, the North Ministry, the South Ministry, in town, amen, the Campus Ministry, okay, Sandy Springs, East Cobb, West Cobb, and Smyrna. And if I've forgotten anybody, please forgive me. Amen? It was awesome. But really, we're to all who are in these areas, loved by God, called as his saints. So there's another benefit to being a slave of Christ. Now he calls us saints. What? The royal priesthood. That we're set apart to be holy because we've laid down our lives as Jesus has laid down his life for us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, I'm going to read that from the New Living Translation, which has been a lot of fun to read on this content. It's really good because it talks about how Paul and Timothy addresses the church. So if you look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Look at this. Greetings from Paul. This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the church, leaders, right? Leaders, shepherds, elders, evangelists, overseers, right? And deacons, okay? He's calling them all. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. And so he sets this all up in Philippians chapter 1, and he's saying, look, if you lay down your lives for Christ, and you lay down your lives with the posture of being a slave for Christ, that you were bought at a price, that you're owned by him, you're going to understand what grace is, and you're going to understand what peace is. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. With the crazy world we live in, there's not a lot of people laying their lives down on behalf of Christ. And so as a result, you have all of this turmoil and all this hardship. Jeff referred to it even in the church, you know, when these issues around culture or race or the political agenda or all these other things, we all have opinions about these things. At the end of the day, if we all lay our lives for Christ, none of us have any rights. We voluntarily laid our lives down for Christ. And as a result, this should be the most peaceful place to come to. This should be a haven. This should be a place we all enjoy coming. I tell you, I must say, I've been married for 25 years, going on 26 years, to my awesome wife, Diane. She's awesome. She's great. And our household, for the most part, except when the Jets and Dolphins are playing, is peaceful. It's peaceful. It's a haven. I love to come home. It's like, I'm not saying, oh, snap, I don't want to come home today. Oh, gosh, what's she going to do? It's just, man, it's just awesome to come home. The place is clean. She helps me out, put my socks, I put them under the bed. She kind of moves them around, you know. It's just all that kind of stuff. No, she's not my personal slave, okay? But I'm just saying, I got some issues, right? But it's just peaceful. It feels good to go home. When we come to this church, there's so much love here. There's so many people that love you. It should be great to come home. Because of the peace, we all share a common goal. Now, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, Paul continues. He says, instead he emptied himself. Who's he? It's capitalized. That's Jesus himself. Jesus, okay? Jesus, he himself, by assuming the form of what? A slave. Doulos, taking on the likeness of men. And when he had come as a man in his eternal form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So Jesus himself displayed what it means to practice doulos to the point of him losing his life. I mean, it's just an amazing thing just to see this. Jude 1 and 2. Not chapters, but Jude 1 and 2. Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who are the called, loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. May mercy, that's the benefit of being a slave of Christ, and peace and love be multiplied to you. Grace, love, and peace. Now let's look at his brother. James, chapter 1. James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. I mean, just greetings. You know, they were dispersed. You know, there was persecution in the first century. You know, but again, greetings to you, brothers and sisters. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm gonna leave this up here, but I want you to hear, we're going to kind of make our points from this text, but I want you to listen to this New Living Translation as you see this, okay? It was really rich in reading this because this kind of enhanced some of the things that I was looking at and what I believe, and it really, really strengthens my convictions. It's just rich. Here's the New Living Translation. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and what? And peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We've received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called him to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the corruption, the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand inheritance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, that's just rich. I mean, that's just a powerful passage of scripture. You know, all of these apostles and these men who followed God and followed Jesus, why do they serve? It's because they realize that he is Lord. He is their master. That's why they serve. Lordship, they've laid down everything. They've thrown it all to waste. The only apostle that didn't die a martyr's death was John, and he was exiled on the island of Patmos. He's the only one. All the rest of them imitated and followed Jesus to death. But what's really powerful about this is what we get to embrace in the spiritual realm as a result of being slaves for Christ. We get to embrace why number one, the divine power. We get to be divine. We get to be spiritual creatures, supernatural creatures. Now, I'm not saying you're gonna jump 10 feet. I'm not gonna say you're gonna walk on water, okay? I'm not gonna say you even sing like my wife, because I don't sing like her. She never gives me singing lessons anyway. I mean, you know, she's a divine singer. She resonates. She sings, you know? You're always comfortable sharing about your wife, you know, all the jokes and the inside stuff. It's awesome when you have a great relationship. But really, the key thing is divine. So let's talk about that for a second. What is that? What does it look like? Number one, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the forgiveness of sins, being loved by God, the grace of God, the peace we get to experience, being heirs, being holy and set apart, being sanctified. All of those things are what it is to be divine. I mean, it's an amazing spiritual posture that we get to be. We're all created in the image of God, but then he does something special with us through his son, Jesus. We become a mediator of a new covenant. He mediates for us. He forgives us of our old sins. I mean, basic stuff, but that's why we need to serve Christ in the church. Because of these basic things. I mean, sometimes we forget. And what's interesting about the end of 2 Peter chapter 1, it's like it is for us. He says, look, I want to remind you of these things so you don't forget. Because it's so easy to forget because naturally we are not spiritual people. You know, and I know for me, the thing I'm grateful for is that, you know, growing up in Brooklyn, I mean, you're talking about, I mean, it was just really difficult growing up. And I'm going to share some more about that, just in terms of how the world influenced me. But the why is because we have everything required for life and godliness through knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. The flip side of that, I don't know if I would have had a successful marriage if it wasn't for Jesus. I don't know if I would have survived as a married man, the examples I had in my life and who I was and who I can be in my sinful nature is difficult to deal with. It's hard. There's some things I'm stubborn at times, I'm prideful, I'm arrogant, can be mean. I mean, there's some things about me that, you know, I'm a handful. But it's because of Jesus and my wife imitating the qualities he talks about, making every effort to be self-controlled, making every effort to supplement my faith, making every effort to grow in the knowledge of God. That's what we all have as a result of Christ. Amen. That's what we have. It's awesome. It's so good that we get to have that as brothers and sisters to grow in these things. He's given us everything. He's taught us through this how to raise our children. He's taught us through this how to be married, how to be excellent stewards. He's taught us through this how to do the things, the basic things of life. We get divine power. Now, power in the Greek, okay, is the word dunamis. When you see power in the Greek is dunamis. Dunamis is dynamite. That's what it means in the Greek. It means dynamite. So we're like, dynamite! You know, it's like, you know, like good times. You know, dynamite! That's who we are. We're powerful people before God. Dynamite, my man, on good times, if you know the show. You know, that's kind of good times. I mean, it's taking me way back. See, there you go. But we're dynamite, man. We're amazing people because of God's divine power. You know, he's called us to that. And it's really amazing. The second thing, why is another part of why we need to serve Jesus in the church? Escaping the corruption of the world. Escaping the corruption in the world. It says right here, by these he's given us his very great and precious promises so that them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires. We get to escape the corruption in the world. You know, growing up in Brooklyn, man, it was where I grew up, inner city Brooklyn. I'm sure a lot of you come from great families. You know, there's some great stories here. For me, what was modeled for me was really, really challenging. There was a lot of corruption. You know, at a very young age, you know, I still have uncles who owe me money to this day. I mean, it's crazy. You know, I was like, I worked the summer youth program. One uncle, he said, nephew, the guys would chase us home. You know, I was sort of an inner city. We were on public assistance at one time, and I got this summer job, and I would work summer jobs and camps and different things like this. And every single time, it's like the guys knew we were getting paid. I mean, I've been chased. We've been held up one time. I mean, it was just crazy. So one time, my uncle said, hey, nephew, you want me to take you to check casting place? I said, yeah, sure, take me to check casting place. Well, get the cash out your pocket. How much you going to pay? I'm like, my own uncle was swindling me. I'm like, you get the cash. I'm like, what is this? And just many of my friends didn't make it out. Just the violence that I saw, drugs and alcohol. And I can go on and on about the challenges. And I got caught up. In a lot of ways, I got caught up. You know, the partying, the womanizing, all those things were a part of my life. The corruption. Honestly, if I didn't become a Christian, I don't know where I would be. If I didn't follow Jesus and decide to be a slave for him and lay my life down and let him be the master and the Lord of my life, I don't know where I would be. I don't know if I even would be here today on this earth because of the choices that I was making as a result of my sinful nature. We've got to ask ourselves, what about us? Do we reflect on who we were before we became Christians? You know, that we pull all of that in, because when you pull all of that in, that's really who you are without Jesus. And so the good thing is that we get to get our sins forgiven, get the Holy Spirit who guides us and helps us to be free from the corruption in this world. The third one, which is most exciting, is entering God's eternal kingdom. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. For in this way, enter into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly supplied to you. In the New Living Translation, it says to us that we get a grand entrance. We get our spiritual red carpet, man. You know, we're all there. We're all special to God. You know, it's like the Emmys and Grammys. Here he comes on this joint. Bob and Adrian Keene, they're going to come out with there. They're going to be like, hey, you know, it's going to be awesome. You know, it's just going to be amazing. The Reese's are going to be there, right? The Channers are going to be there. The Elders are going to be there. The Escalosa is going to be there. You know what I mean? I never pronounce his name right. You should hear when I leave a message to Alexis. Alexis Estiosa. You know, I just love to say it like that, right? So it's just awesome. We're great friends, man. But really, there's going to be this grand entrance that's waiting for us, that really God is going to welcome us, because he's going to see those who've decided to lay their lives down for him are branded for eternity. He sees us. He recognizes us. He knows who we are. That's why we should serve the church and one another. That's why. And the thing that's interesting is when in Revelation chapter, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 1 here. What's interesting when he writes these letters, when John starts writing to these churches in Asia, these seven churches, they were all messed up. I mean, they were just, you know, lukewarm. They were worldly. There was just so much going on. They lost their first love. You know, they were struggling in their faith. But in Revelation chapter one, we see here, look, the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave him to show his slaves what must quickly take place. He sent it and signified it through his angel to his slave John. Here's another one, who testified to God's word and to the testimony about Jesus Christ in all he saw. The one who reads this is blessed, and those who hear the words of his prophecy and keep it what it is written are blessed, because the time is near. To the seven churches in Asia, grace and what? Peace to you from the one who is, who was, and who is coming, from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has set us free from what? Our sins by what? His blood. And made us what? A kingdom, priests to his God and Father. The glory and dominion are his forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Man, that's inspiring. We just sang the Revelation song. I just sang it by myself over there with Jeff. Me and him were just singing. Man, it's just amazing how it resonates. It's powerful how it resonates. Exciting how it resonates. And I'm an excitable guy. So sometimes I get so excited that I may steal your excitement. You know what I mean? It's kind of like one of those guys, like I'm 100 miles an hour. But this is exciting stuff. This is inspiring. This is really encouraging to know that one day we're going to be with him in his kingdom. We're here on earth already, priest to his God and Father. The glory and dominion are his forever and ever. Amen. Amen. There's a benefit to our faith. There's a benefit to lay our lives down as slaves to Christ. I'm going to close out here with a couple of passages that I want you to see that are inspiring. Let them hit your heart. They're to the seven churches of Asia. And they're incredible and they're encouraging. He says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, anyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. I will give the victor the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in God's paradise. That's what he's going to do for those who are his slaves, those who make Jesus Lord, who live a life of lordship. That's what he's going to do. Then he says in Smyrna, anyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. The victor will never be harmed by the second death. We'll never die. I mean, we'll physically die, but we'll never die spiritually. Pergamum, anyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. I will give the victor some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name is inscribed that no one knows except the one who receives it. That's incredible. We get our own spiritual headstone that only he knows. Thyatira, the one who is victorious and keeps my works to the end, I will give him authority over the nations. He will shepherd them with an iron scepter. He will shatter them like pottery. Just as I received this from my Father, I will give him the morning star. Anyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. That's incredible. Laodicea, listen. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and have dinner with him. And he with me, the victor, I will give him the right to sit with me on my throne. Just as I also won the victory and sat down with my Father on his throne. Anyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Brothers and sisters, family, are you guys inspired by this? Just what is at stake is that we get to be a part of God's kingdom for eternity. That since we get the benefit of this, it should resonate through us to really give in a powerful way. These people were not perfect. If you pull the hood back on North River and you look, you can find many things wrong with the church. But one thing you won't find wrong with the church is that we all share God's gift of the Holy Spirit and the love for one another. We're just imperfect people that get to experience this. In my study of this, you know, when you talk about slavery in America and how difficult it is to grasp that, it was tragic. But we have a lot of things to unlearn as far as that's concerned. We need to understand, when we lay our lives down for Christ, this is the benefit of what we get to have. I want to share some practical things about what we can do. Number one, how can we serve? The children's ministry. How about the next generation? How can we help them to be better for Christ, to lay their lives down for Christ? The security team, we need to be protected. The singles ministry, ways to mutually encourage one another and do life together. Serving those in need within your communities, the poor, the sick, the shut-in, the prison ministry, the human trafficking situation. There's many ways that we can serve there. Mentorship within the church and outside, teens, tutoring. Hospitality, having someone in your home, speaking up against injustice, being sacrificial financially, hanging out and having fun, arts, theater, sports, dining, whatever it is, just doing life together. It's just inspiring to be able to do that because we share this special gift of Christ. I just want to encourage us. You know, we have a special gift. You know, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have the opportunity to be here. In my study of this, it's been compelling. It's been inspiring just to see what is at stake. I honestly want to continue to lay my life down for Christ. I want to give it to him. I want to encourage us to do the same, to really look at slavery, to look at lordship, to understand that Jesus is the path and the way. Amen? Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for him. Thank you for the blood, the sacrifice, the love that he's made for us. God, I know that slavery is a tough concept. You know, it's just challenging, but in so many ways, God, you've given us, you bought us at a price. We get to be special. God, help that to motivate and inspire our hearts to be encouraged and give to you. We love you. We thank you. It's in his name we pray. Amen.